Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for this time that we can come back together. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be here with us. I pray, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross and that Jesus may shine forth. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, sound good? Can you hear me just fine? Good. All right. A while back, there was a man that got struck. Lightning came down, hit an electrical post. The electricity got him, and so there he figured that he would sue. When he sued, the insurance company denied it, claiming that this was an act of God. So therefore, they could not, you know, pay it. So in that sense, then, he figured, well, he was going to sue the whole churches in the area. Because if it was an act of God, somebody had to pay, right? So he sued the 55 churches in the area. Went to court. Judge is hearing both sides. One of the preachers gets up and says, you know, really, this whole thing is not God. It should really be termed an act of the devil. And that old preacher was right. And we'll look at it tonight. You see, as you look in the world today, there are many things that happen. There's many things that happen to good people. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is now cancer affecting little children. There is now all kind of diseases taking lives. There's all kind of things that happen. And a lot of times it seems to happen to good people. The reality is, folks, is that in this world, we are in the middle of a great battle. We are in the middle of a great battle that's going on. The Bible lets us know that that battle is here on this earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus was talking one time and doing a parable, and he talked a parable about a sower. It said that this sower went out, and he threw some seed on the ground, and then as the seed was coming up, instead of the good seed that he thought he had put on the ground, some noxious weeds came out. And so the people came up and said, Lord, if the farmer planted good seed, where did the weeds come from? Matthew 13:37, pick up the parable, it lets us know there that he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The fields is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And then he says, the enemy who sowed them is who? The devil. So here Jesus basically tells a little parable saying that the seed that he had put in was good seed. But at night while he was sleeping, the enemy, the devil, came in and spread it bad seed. Seed of tares. You see, there's acts of God and there's an acts of the devil. Many times when something bad happens in our life, who is the first person that we blame? No, not your mom, not your dad. Though sometimes it's easy to do. A lot of times we blame God first. Something bad comes into our life, and the first thing we say, why, God? How come you, God, am I not a good person? Haven't I served you? Haven't I done all of these things? And sometimes we question God. Maybe you don't do that, but a lot of people do that. That's the first thing that comes into our mind. Why, God? You see, the Bible lets us know that there was war in heaven. You see, many people erroneously think that this planet is where the bad stuff started. But surprisingly, the Bible lets us know that sin did not start in this planet, but it started in heaven. Now, for you to understand that and for you to know that is key. Now, if you can imagine, heaven is the most sanitized place in the world. No evil thoughts. You've seen the pictures, you know, and I love to go in the stores and see some of the pictures of how they depict heaven sometimes with the little angels, you know, sitting on the clouds with the little harp, you know, or with the little, you know, bow and arrow or whatever else they have. And, you know, they imagine just this little baby angels, right? Most sanitized place in heaven. In that sanitized place is where sin started, the Bible lets us know. As a matter of fact, Revelation, the book of Revelation, lets us know that war broke out in heaven. War. broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So this is a war going on. Now, this is not a war where they're taking rifles and airplanes and machineries. They're talking back and forth. They're arguing back and forth. They're fighting, physically fighting. But then the Bible says they did not prevail. And I love that word. The serpent, the dragon, and his angels did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, so it gives us all the names here so that we do not misinterpret who we're talking about. The serpent, Satan, devil, they're all the same thing. He was cast out of heaven. He goes out to deceive the whole world. So he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the devil and all of his angels were cast out with him. This dragon is a mean dragon. He means to take lives. He means to destroy. Revelation 12:3 says, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Remember, we talked about last night or 2 nights ago about the metal man of Daniel 2. Had the head of gold, the breast of silver, thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, and then the toes, part clay and part iron, correct? Now here in Revelation 12, it's going further into that and it's talking about the last part, the toes. But here, instead of using toes, it's using horns. So he has 7 horns or 7 heads now and 10 horns. It's still referring to the same thing, but now it's giving us more detail. It continues to say it had 7 diadems on his head. Diadems means a royal, a king, a reign, a country. The same thing that we saw in Daniel 2. So as you see, he keeps unpacking. His tail, it says, drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now the Bible, specifically Daniel and Revelation, you get into symbols. Symbols can mean different things. What does a woman stand for in the Bible? Church. Okay, so you know that. What does oil stand for in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Okay, you know this. What would stars stand for in the Bible? Angels. The stars of heaven drew out a third of the stars of heaven. This means that Satan, with his deception in heaven and with his rebellion against God, he actually deceived a third of the angels of heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't let us know how many angels there are in heaven. But you can imagine that there must be millions, maybe millions of millions. A third of the angels he drew with him, he was able to deceive. Ezekiel 28:12 says, "Thus says the Lord God, you who were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect beauty." A whole different picture. You see, Revelation calls him an all fiery red dragon, old dragon, serpent, devil. Calls him all of this, but Ezekiel shows us the real picture of what Satan was before he became Satan. The Bible says that he was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect. He was beautiful. As a matter of fact, this guy was so beautiful that he started to notice himself a little bit too much. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that, you know, when they get ready in the morning, or when you see them out in the streets, perhaps in the stores, you know, every little hair is in its spot. Everything is perfect. And when they're walking in front of a mirror, it's almost like they're surprised. Whoa, that's a good-looking guy. Right? You've seen that? You've seen somebody that way. You perhaps know somebody that way. You know? This guy was so full of himself that he started looking too much into himself. And he started to deceive his own self. This guy was perfect, though. God had created a perfect angel. As a matter of fact, he continues to say, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." So he had everything he could ever want. He was beautiful. He was covered with every perfect stone. He was the omnipotence of beauty, if you will. You were the anointed cherub who covers. You were on the holy mountain of God, it says. You walked in the midst of the fiery stones. So this angel had a special position. Now in the Bible, there's three kinds of angels. There's the regular angels, then you have seraphim, and then you have cherubim. Out of the cherubim, you have two special kind that are called the covering cherub. Now what the covering cherub does is he stands on the side of God. He covers the presence of God. Now you remember the Old Testament temple, right? The Old Testament sanctuary, the Ark of the Covenant. You had the holy place, then you had the most holy place. And as you went into the most holy place where the Shekinah glory of God stood, there was two angels made out of gold. And the two angels, their wingtips touched each other as they covered the ark. Those were representations of the covering cherubs, because underneath them was the actual Shekinah glory, the representation, the actual essence of God. In heaven, these two angels stand beside God, covering the glory, if you will. Lucifer was one of those angels. Lucifer was one of those cherubims. But Lucifer wasn't happy with just being right next to God. Lucifer wasn't happy with just seeing, with beholding the glory of God. He got to the point where he wanted to be God. He wasn't satisfied. You've probably seen him. You know, you've probably worked with somebody that when you do something good, they have to do something better. If you get a raise, well, they have to get a raise a little bit bigger. Even if it's just a penny, they have to get it above you. They go to the boss and say, give me at least one penny raise so I can be better then. This was the type of person, this were the type of feelings that started developing in Satan. He wanted to be better. He wanted to be better than God himself. He wanted to be better than the boss. He wasn't happy with just enjoying the presence of the boss. Ezekiel 28:15 continues to let us know about this angel. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. So this was a created being. Until iniquity was found in you. Iniquity means sin. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. So he started to go down a path, a very slippery path. He saw God's glory and he wanted no part of it anymore. He wanted to take that glory for himself. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you've been cut down to the ground. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So he wasn't happy with just being next to God or being level to God. He wanted to be above God. You're starting to see the pride. You're starting to see the things that drove this beautiful angel to turn himself into a devil. He said, I will be like the Most High. So get the picture now. Here's this angel, this covering cherub. Perhaps he had two wings with a flew, two wings which he covered his face, two wings which he covered his feet. And the cherub's job is just to cover the glory of God and to cry out, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. He is there. He's doing all of this, but all of a sudden, he starts looking at himself and he says, listen, I can sing better than anybody. You know, let's put it in the vernacular. I have better hair than everybody else here. I got better teeth. They're whiter. I got a better smile than anybody here. You see, he started to compare himself. I can preach better than anybody. No one can do what I can do. He started to lift himself up to the point where he said, I'm going to be better than God. God is good. He's great, but I can be better yet. So this angel started to think himself. He started not only to think that in himself, but then he started to undermine God's government. How did he do that? He started to gather angels to himself, and he started to plant the seed of doubt. So the big question is, why did God not destroy Lucifer at this moment? We know that God is all-knowing, correct? He's all-powerful, he's almighty. Why not destroy the devil at this moment? Why not just sap him? Why not just go bzzz and take him out? How many of you have children? Okay, grandchildren? Okay, all of you, or most of us here. Okay? If you had a child that was just born and he developed a crying problem, colic is what they call it. And he developed a crying problem and he wouldn't be quiet and he would cry in the morning, cry in the evening, cry in the afternoon, cry all night. Would you take that child and destroy it? Of course not. You would not. You would try to love that child. Try to heal it. Try to protect it. Try to help it. You see, and if God would have come in and if he would have sapped the devil, guess what the rest of the angels would have done? Whoa, we got to toe the line here. God means business. If we don't toe the line, he's going to sap us too. And what would that have done to God's government? It would have now been run on the essence of fear. The angels would not have obeyed God, would not have followed God because they loved him. They would have followed him because they fear him. God does not operate on fear. God doesn't want you to follow him because you're fearful. And I know that you've heard, again, I told you a little bit of my story yesterday. I was told that if I did not do things rightly, I would go into that pit and just die in hell. I was told that if I did not obey my parents, I would go into that pit, you know, if I die, boof, and I was going to burn. You know, that's what I heard growing up. And out of fear, you got to toe the line. You see, folks, this is not biblical. It is not in the Bible. God is not a God that wants his people to follow him because of fear. He wants people to follow him because they love him. So he did not destroy the devil. He allowed him to develop and to mature and to fully show himself for who he was. Now, at this point, he hasn't yet. At this point, he has deceived a third of the angels of heaven. He has dragged them out. He has told lies. He has put doubt in their head, and they have believed and they have followed him. You see, many people in Germany follow Hitler, not because they agreed with what he was doing, but because they were afraid. You see, fear can lead us to do things that it's out of our control and things that we would never thought of. But love connects us in a whole different level. And God, the Bible says, is love. He wants us to follow him because we love him. He wants us to follow because he loves us. So God and his government is in the essence run and operated under love. Now what the devil did is he challenged the laws of God. What he said, what he essentially was saying in heaven was that you could not follow God according to the rules that he had. You cannot obey God. As a matter of fact, he still is selling that lie today. He's still trying to sell that lie. He still comes and says in the minds of people, you're not good enough. God will never accept you. You've probably heard it in your mind too. You've gone far enough. The things that you've done are far beyond the reach of God. Oh, if you feel that way, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. tomorrow night we're going to look at salvation. Oh, you're gonna be amazed of what the Bible says about salvation. But you see, he comes and he puts those thoughts in our mind and he says, you've gone beyond. God is not going to accept you. Don't you believe that? That's a lie of the devil. You see, God puts rules for our protection. You know the speed limit here through town goes between 25, 35, and then as you get out, 45, and then 55. Do you think that those signs are there to keep you from having fun? You think that the speed limit is there to keep you from enjoying yourself? You think that the flashlights are set up there so that you won't have fun? No, they're there for our protection. When we look at them in that sense, we can enjoy it and still be safe. That's the way God's law is. It's there for our protection. You see, this angel in reality chose to make the devil out of himself. He chose to create something that God had not created. God had created a perfect angel, but yet he created a perfect angel with the choice to either follow him or to reject them. And this angel made the choice to reject God. Further than that, he challenged God. He challenged the government of God. He wanted to make himself God, and he's still trying to make himself God. He's still trying to sell that lie. So from heaven, the battle comes to this planet. It's kind of like an intergalactic battle, if you will. Starts in heaven, and then it's affected in this planet. Now the question is, why this planet? Why Earth? 1 Corinthians 4:9 says that a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Our planet is a spectacle. As far as we know and as far as the Bible is concerned, we are the only planet that has been infected by the illness of sin. And so we became a spectacle to the angels. The angels are watching. You see, when the devil came into this planet and he usurped the planet, we'll check it out in a minute. He usurped the planet. The angels looked down and they saw what was happening. And they were watching with intense interest. Is it true? Is Lucifer going to set his own kingdom? And if he runs himself as God, let's see if he is going to be more just than God. Let's see if he's going to be better than God. You see, this is what the devil wanted. He wanted to set up his own system, and so he did. This world was created perfect. Oh, that beautiful world that, again, I told you last night, oh, I can imagine as Adam is there and he receives Eve for the very first time, oh, what a joy. And Eve, when she says Adam, oh, when they see the animals, when they see the bears, the lions, the tigers, oh, everything was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Even the little rainbow trout jumping out of the water there. Everything was created. Magnificent. It was very good, the Bible says. Genesis 2:16 says that God told Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, except one, that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God put Adam and Eve in a perfect environment. But there was a test of loyalty. That now, with Satan, with sin in the picture, God has to test all those that are going to follow him. So this was a simple test. A tree, don't eat of it. That's it. If you resist that temptation, you can forever enjoy eternal life. So they were put on there. Eve went by the tree. And she started looking at that tree. Now here's a quote from Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you see, folks, the reality is that we're dealing with something that is much more powerful than us. Now, can I tell you something shocking here? Talking about religious people, this is only religious people. Now, some of you that have heard me preach here before, I've shared this with you before, but out of religious people, those of you that perhaps haven't heard this before, how many do you think, let's say if we had 10 people, how many of those 10 people do not believe in the devil? Give me some guess. If you had 10 people, how many Christians do you think do not believe in the devil? 8? 7? It's actually around 6. 6 out of 10 Christians do not believe that there's an evil force. Okay? If you don't believe there's an evil force, folks, and the Bible lets us know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Folks, we're doomed. The Bible lets us know that that's what we're dealing against, and Eve got to deal with that on a face-to-face. The devil came in, that Lucifer, that old dragon, used the serpent. Now, most of us don't like serpents. And some of you are looking down or looking to the side as you see this picture. Right? But the serpent was really, by all accounts, a beautiful animal. It actually flew in the garden. So Satan used that serpent. Genesis 3:1 says that he possessed it and started talking through the serpent. So Genesis 3:1 says, Did God indeed say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he comes to Eve with a question. Really? Did God tell you that you shouldn't eat of every tree? Okay, so what is that saying? What that's saying is, God is holding out on you. God is not letting you enjoy everything. You see, the devil is very wise. He has been at it for many, many, many years now. And he doesn't come many a times full on. He comes with just the seed of doubt. He plants that doubt. That's what he did with Eve. Really? Did God tell you that? Man, God must be holding out on you. Eve says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Yeah, God said we can eat of it, anything. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, okay, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, now here Eve was a little bit out of herself, because did God say that she shouldn't touch it? No, God never said that. Okay, but you see, in the presence of this, she has now discombobulated herself, and now she's in trouble because she is talking to Lucifer, the deceiver. He continues to say, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. What did God have said? You will die. Now the serpent says, the serpent has planted the seed of doubt. God is holding out on you. Oh, no. He told us we can eat of every tree. Really? No, but if just the one, if we must not eat it, nor touch it. But now he says, oh no, you can touch it. You will not surely die. You won't die. All you got to do is touch it. Look at it. And she starts looking at it. She starts inspecting it. She starts feeling it even. Genesis 3:5 says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So now, Eve's interest is really up. And you see, and here's the reality. The reality is that many humans today still believe that we can become gods. As a matter of fact, I told you two nights ago, the Caesars used to believe that they were gods embodied in human form, and they demanded the worship of their followers. You see, this is a lie that the devil has been feeding us for many, many years. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She was hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. She's taking it. She's eating it. She has touched it. She has consumed it. She has just failed the test of loyalty that God had given them. Now, many people believe that this was an apple. Some say it was an orange. Whatever it was a fruit that should not have been touched. It was a fruit that should not have been eaten. She did both. Then she took it to her husband. Her husband also ate. And again, folks, this was a willing decision that they both had to make. Eve made the decision to eat it. Adam made the decision to eat it. They both knew what God had said, but they chose to do it. You see, God gives us the freedom of choice, and we should always have that freedom of choice. God is not a God that wants to control us and to keep us in a little box. He wants to give us the freedom of choice. This is very important. This is how his whole government is run. After they ate, they realized that they had done a mistake. Because you see, Adam and Eve were put on this planet to be the caretakers of this planet. They were put on this planet to be the representatives of this planet. But with their sin, now they lost that spot, and Satan now filled that spot. As a matter of fact, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. He became the representative of earth. He became really, in all sense of the word, our representative in heaven. Oh, it gets bad. Adam and Eve had to be kicked out of the garden. They could no longer enjoy. They realized that they were naked. They ran and hid. Genesis 3:10 says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So they ran. They ran. They hid. They looked for bushes. You know, they tried to make clothes for themselves. They couldn't. God questions them, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? The woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. So who is Adam blaming? He's spoken like a true man here, right? He's not taking responsibility for himself. He says, the woman you gave me. So really, he's putting the blame right back at God. What does the woman do? When she gets questioned, she says, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So they make the choice, but now they don't want to take the responsibility. It's like your kids. You know, I was a young kid at once. And it's almost a human trait that if something happens, you're always looking for somebody else to blame. Oh, it was my little brother. Oh, or it was the neighbor kid. Or it was somebody else. It's always, you know, we always try to blame someone else. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They try to blame God. They try to blame the serpent. But in reality, they had to take the responsibility for their choices. And they had to be kicked out of the garden. Genesis 5:5 says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And then what happened? He died. You see, the moment he ate of that tree, he started to die. And ultimately, he died. John 8:44 says that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. You see, he has always worked with lies. He tries to deceive. He tries to appear as something that he's not. He is a liar, and he will continue to be a liar. As a matter of fact, he does not show himself for who he is. If he was to show himself for who he is, you would run out of here. And I'm not a preacher that you know, preachers fire and brimstone, because I don't want to scare you. I don't believe in scare tactics. But I believe that God revealed to us who the devil really is in the Bible, and we're going to get to see it in a second here. Jesus Christ, when he was on this planet, he encountered, and if you look at the four Gospels, he encountered the devil many times, and he talked to him straight, and he exposed him for who he was. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, a lady had been bleeding for 18 years. Look at where Jesus puts the blame. Luke 13:16, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom who? Satan has bound for how long? 18 years. You see, this woman had been bleeding. She was anemic. She had spent all her money. She had done everything that she could. She was sick. She was dying. Jesus healed her. And as a matter of fact, he healed her on a Sabbath. And so the people were questioning Jesus. Oh, man, what are you doing? You're breaking the day of worship. You're breaking everything. Jesus says, the devil has done this, and isn't it right to do it on this day? You see, he put the blame back on the devil, back where the blame really fell. But perhaps the book that gives us the clearest picture of who the devil really is the book of Job. Let's look at it real quick. The book of Job says that all the sons of God came before him. Among them was Satan, representing our planet. So all the representatives from all the planets, if you can imagine, that God has created, present themselves before God. Satan is there representing the planet Earth. Job 1:7 says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? He was coming from earth. He says, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. So he roams the earth. This is where his domain is. This is where his representation was. He had usurped that position from Adam. Adam was the legitimate representative, but when he deceived Adam and Eve, Satan, Lucifer, took that spot. He became the prince of this world. So he presents himself before God. Job 1:7 says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth. God is showing off on Job. This guy is fantastic. He's blameless, upright. He fears God and he shuns evil. Have you checked him out? Have you seen him? God is showing off. God is doting, if you will, on Job. Well, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Challenging God again. Bible says, now God tells the devil, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you in your face. So the devil says to God, oh, take the protection away from him. Take the things that are around him, and he will surely curse you in your face. And so God says, all right, touch him, take it. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So he could touch everything else except for Job. So he went out. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And look at what he did. The cattle, all that cattle that he had was stolen. Every single cattle. He had a lot of them. Lightning kills the sheep and the shepherds. So the shepherds are watching the sheep, taking care. Lightning comes down, takes him out. They take his camels. Now, for us right now, folks, camels, sheep, cattle, they don't mean a whole lot to us now, right? But this was the essence of riches at that time. This would be like if you had 100 acres down in Beverly Hills. This was your livelihood. And so all of it is taken from him. A tornado demolishes the home of his oldest son, where all his children are celebrating. They all die. So he loses his cattle, his sheep, his shepherds, his camels, and his children. Now, the devil is there with anticipation, waiting to see and say that, oh, yeah, Job is about to curse God. He's about to blame God for everything. Now, Job thought that God had done it, but look at what he says. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he wasn't mad at God. He wasn't angry at God. He wasn't cursing God. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, can you imagine how that irritated Satan? Job just basically took a shovel full of salt and threw it on Satan. That's what he did. So Satan was mad. Yes, all that a man he has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you in your face. So the devil now says, listen, okay, maybe the things around him were not very significant, but if you touch him, he surely will curse you. God says, okay. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. He says, touch him, but you can't kill him. You see, the reality, folks, is that the devil can only go so far. Only the devil has to, even the devil has to obey God's command. So God said, okay, touch him, but you can't take his life. So he went. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So painful boils afflicted him. This guy was just in pain, just riddling in pain and back and forth itching. And all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So in other words, he did not blame God. He didn't. He just endured it. He just went for it. Now, let's look at the reality here. Who was it that hurt Job? Who was it that plagued? It was Satan. Who was it that stole his livestock and killed his servants? It was Satan. Who was it that brought the tornado that destroyed his sons and daughters? It was Satan. Who was it that did all of this? It was Satan. The Lord may allow difficulties to come and test our loyalty and love. You see, folks, according to the Bible, we are going to be tested. We are tested every day to see where our loyalty lies. You see, the Lord may allow the difficulties to come and test that, but as Satan is the guilty one and responsible for all the evil on planet Earth. He is the one to blame. Well, you ask, well, why does God allow it? He allows it to test our loyalty to him. He allows it so that we can stand in the middle. You see, the reality is that we are in a fight. We are in the middle of a fight, and we cannot stand in the middle and not choose a side. You see, the devil is trying to get you to his side, and God is trying to get you to his side. The only difference is that God calls you with love. The devil rushes in and will take you out at whatever opportunity he gets. You see, we're in the middle of a fight. He is angry. He is running out of time. As a matter of fact, Revelation says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but what? A short time. We've seen it in prophecy. We are on the last part of the metal man. We're on the toes. We're on the last part of prophecy. The next thing is that rock that's going to come down and destroy that metal man, and a whole new kingdom will be created. A whole new earth will be created. He has but a very short time. And that's why he's so angry. Now, I would tell you that the devil has changed his tactics. Some of you have read history, and you have heard of the medieval times. You have heard of the persecutions. At the very beginning, even after Christ left, he resurrected and ascended to heaven, even after that, his disciples were persecuted. The devil used to persecute, and he's still doing it today. Just we don't hear about it as much. But I'll tell you that the devil has changed his ways to deception. Just like he did with Adam and Eve, he'll give you 90% of false, 90% of the truth, but he'll throw in their 10% of falsehood and make the whole thing false. You see, that's why you got to be careful. That's why it is so important, like we studied last night, that you study the Bible for yourself, that you know this book. This book has eternal life in it, and you need to know it. You cannot depend on a preacher telling you, folks. And that's, you're hearing it from a preacher. You cannot depend on the preacher. Yes, the preacher may be good, and if he has a connection with God, he may be giving you good truth, but you need to check it out from the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there was a group of people that heard it, and then they went and checked it out. So you need to check it out in the Bible. You see, he knows that he has a very short time. So the First Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is that lion. He is trying to destroy. He tried to destroy Christ. He tried to take him out. He tried to take him out even before he went to the cross. That lion tried to devour Christ. Even as a little baby, he had to run for his life. He had to go into Egypt because the devil tried to take Christ out even as a little baby. He killed all of the two-year-olds and underneath that so that Christ wouldn't even get to the cross. When Christ was baptized, he went and he tested him. You see, Christ overcame all of that, and even at the cross, it was the devil who used the people to get Christ crucified. It was the devil who riled the people to cry out, "Crucify him." Folks, if we could take the curtain back and if we could really see what's happening, if we could see that third dimension, we would see the evil forces fighting to destroy us. But praise God that we serve an almighty God. Praise God that we serve an all-powerful God, a God that gave his only son, a God that took the hand of the devil and threw it to the side, a God that overpowered Satan. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," and that is who? The devil. So you see, here's the key, folks. Here's the key. The key is that at the cross, Jesus Christ, remember Genesis 3:15, we have a prophecy there that says that the serpent would nip the heel, but the serpent is going to get his head crushed. You see, at the cross, the serpent nipped at Christ's heel. But that cross crushed. Ooh, that sounded loud. Sorry about that. That serpent crushed. That serpent's head was crushed. It was gone. It was destroyed. You see, the devil is a defeated foe. You don't have to be afraid of him because Christ has overcome him. You don't have to be afraid of him because Christ has beaten him. As a matter of fact, it is now Christ who stands and represents this planet. It is him who represents us. It is him who stands there. So you see, he still has power on this planet to do his acts, and he will continue to do his acts. But soon and very soon, he will be destroyed. He is angry because time is running out. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians says, 11:14, "No wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light." Now, how many of you have seen the pictures of the devil? What does he usually look like? He's usually all red. Has the little horns, right? Right? Has the long tail with the little pointy spike on the back. And what does he usually have with him? A little pitchfork, right? With the three things, you know? And my grandma used to say, if you don't behave, he's going to come and poke you in the butt. Okay? Right? He's going to poke you and take you and put you over the fire and rotisserie you so that you have to behave. Okay? You see the pictures, okay? You laugh, but as a kid, you hear that and you get scared. And you walk the line. But again, fear is not part of God's government. Love is the basis of God's government. So the Bible says that no wonder, because he transformed himself into an angel of light. You see, the devil would like for you to believe that he's this ugly, mean thing running around with a pitchfork. But he's no such thing. The Bible says that he presented himself as an angel of light. In other words, he deceives. He shows up as a supernatural being. So you have to know your Bible, because he is going to do miracles that are going to deceive even the very elect. Revelation 16:14 says they are spirits of demons performing signs. They will do miracles. They will do wonderful things. They will do things that if you just go by what you're seeing, you're going to be deceived. That's why you got to know your Bible. That's why you got to stand on the Word. That's why you have to understand and know the one who created the Word. Matthew 24:20 says, "For false Christs, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, who? The very elect." So he's going to do wonderful things. Folks, God can do miracles, and so can the devil. Can we tell the difference between them? How can we tell the difference between them? Sometimes we can't, folks. That's the reality. Miracles is not evidence that it comes from a divine source. Miracle is simply a showing of power. You see, the devil will do mighty works, and if all you're going is on what you're seeing, you may be deceived. That's why you have to know your Word. That's why you have to study your Word. That's why you have to go to the Bible. That's why you have to see the pictures. That's why you have to see the prophecies, because we're dealing here with principalities that are more powerful than we can ever imagine. Think of your worst enemy and multiply it by 1,000. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. This planet is a spectacle. This planet is a battleground. But this planet will soon be made new. That old devil, that old serpent, that old fiery red dragon, the Bible says, Ezekiel 28:16 says, "I destroyed you, O covering cherub." The Bible says that that cherub will be destroyed. As a matter of fact, he continues to say, "Therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you and turned you into ashes upon the earth." That old serpent, that old dragon, that old devil, he is going to be destroyed. He was already defeated at the cross, but he will be destroyed soon and very soon. And I say amen to that, because I'm tired of that old wily devil. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to see the things that he does. I don't want to even hear about it anymore. But you see, there's a day that's coming when all of this is going to come to an end. A day when Christ shows up in the clouds. He's going to be judged for everything that he has done. He's going to be judged for all the pain that he has caused. You think of the things that perhaps you have gone through. There's a little boy, little 10-year-old boy, that my wife and I lost in Bolivia. We were working at an orphanage. He was 10 years old. He was not our kid, but we were his parents, and we had come to love him as a son. But he climbed up a tree and he fell down. And when he fell down, he cracked his skull. He went into a coma. He broke some vertebrae. He never did come out of that coma. He died 3 days later. Oh, it's very hard, because this is a young person. This is a 10-year-old. They haven't lived their life. The devil is the one responsible. He will pay for that. As a pastor, I have done funerals of 3-year-old babies. As a pastor, I have done funerals of 10-day-old babies. The devil will pay for every pain that he has caused the human race. Now, why does he cause pain? Folks, he could no longer cause pain to God. He can no longer show himself before God, because now Christ is our representative. So the only way he can get at God now is by hurting you or me. So he does it to the best of his ability. He tries to hurt us, but soon he will answer. He will answer for every dirty, rotten thing that he's ever done. Because he is, like somebody said, a dirty, rotten devil. He'll pay for it. The question tonight for us is, whose side are we going to be on? We can only be on one side. We can only be on either Christ's side or the devil's side. God is calling us to be on his side, because Christ has defeated that old foe. Prophecy lets us know that he will forever be destroyed. Nahum 1:9 says that rebellion will not rise up again. So when God destroys him, he's going to destroy him for good. No more. No more pain. No more sorrow. We can have a life the way God intended it for us to have it. We will see that tomorrow. The secret of immortality. It'll be important. Sin. I know that we live in a world that we cannot escape the consequences of sin. We see it every day. Many a times we experience it. But let's put the blame where it belongs. On Satan. Not on God. And I know that that's very hard to do sometimes. But we must trust and we must know that we serve a loving God who will see us through anything. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the power. He'll give us the way out of anything because we serve a God that loves us. A God that wants to protect us. But yet at the same time, a God that believes in free will and knows that we have the free will to make a choice. So we have to make a choice. I pray that you make the right choice in serving a risen, powerful, loving, almighty Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come together. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're teaching us. Continue to be with us. Continue to give us your Holy Spirit and continue to guide us into your truth. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll keep us from the evil one. And Lord, help us to understand and to know that you have already beaten him. Please guide us and direct us and keep us faithful until the day that you come, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.